32. New York City, New York, August 10, 1782. Day. The British and their loyalist sympathizers are trapped. As peace talks continue in Paris, Benjamin Franklin's son William panics. Like many loyalists, he has come to New York City seeking sanctuary. But Article 10 of Lord Cornwallis's capitulation agreement at Yorktown strips the Tories of all protection from justice. Footnote: In America, a Tory was an American colonist supporting the British cause. In Parliament, a Tory was a conservative voting in favor of King George's policies. End footnote. When the British inevitably sail home, the Loyalists will be treated not as prisoners of war, but as traitors. Now, here at New York's Assembly Hall, the younger Franklin gathers with other Loyalists to write a petition requesting the King's protection. "Great Britain thus permits her friends to be sacrificed," writes one New York Loyalist. "A halter will be the only reward a great many of them will receive for their loyalty." Footnote: A halter is draped around the head of a horse to guide its movements. It is often synonymous with a hangman's noose. Most infamously, Judas Iscariot is thought to have hanged himself with a halter after his betrayal of Jesus. End footnote. William Franklin longs to make his home in London, but his request to leave New York was denied by General Henry Clinton before the general's departure 3 months ago. Franklin serves as president of the Board of Associated Loyalists and is so popular that one group of Loyalists has nicknamed their corner of New York City Fort Franklin. Clinton believed that Franklin's presence in New York would bolster Loyalist spirits, sending a defiant message that all was not lost. Indeed, acting on his own authority as president of the board, William Franklin sentenced a captured American soldier to death to avenge the hanging of a Loyalist. That action outraged General Washington, who now demands that Franklin be handed over to the Americans to stand trial. Washington has established headquarters in Newburgh, 55 miles north of New York City. Though he is still wary of the British, His Excellency is comforted by the fact that American prisoners of war are now being loaded on board ships to be returned from England. That knowledge, plus the imminent departure of the French General Rochambeau and his men for the West Indies, is making it obvious to Washington that his invasion of New York City will be impossible. Thus, he begins ordering that all wagons and horses that were borrowed by the military be returned to their rightful owners, a sure sign that the war is coming to an end. It has been years since New York City, nestled on the southern tip of Manhattan Island, has seen any military action, but the island city has suffered terribly from overcrowding and deprivation. A fire in 1776, set by fleeing Americans bent on denying New York to the British, destroyed a fourth of the city, which has never been rebuilt. Two fires in later years burned additional sections. Soldiers live largely in tent camps and hut villages outside of the city, but the army nonetheless requires large amounts of storage space for food, fuel, hay, clothing, equipment, and munitions. All of the army's administrative activities are centered in the city, requiring the presence of staff officers, clerks, and countless others. All of these people need housing, as do the thousands of refugees who have flocked to the city. Hundreds of craftsmen and laborers maintain the Navy's ships and the Army's wagons, arms, and equipment. Even though many inhabitants fled the British occupation, there is a constant struggle to find quarters for everyone. The crowded conditions resulted in problems with sanitation and crime. Every space in every building is put to use, some rented, some appropriated by the Army, some taken by opportunists. American Army prisoners of war are crammed into the Sugar House, a large warehouse in the middle of town. Naval prisoners suffer on old ships anchored in the harbor. Hulks of abandoned merchant vessels litter the shoreline. Bored soldiers, sailors, and refugees find alcohol cheap and plentiful, and it fuels abuses that military policing can never fully restrain. But as difficult as life in New York might be, for the British, the city is vital. Its harbor and location make New York the hub of all British commerce. For this reason, King George maintains a strong military presence in Manhattan. Even if America is granted independence, the king would very much like to continue occupying New York forever. On August 10th, with George Washington still demanding William Franklin's arrest, a group of loyalists gathers and votes that it would be best for their cause if Franklin sailed to England and presented their petition for protection personally to the king. A few days later, William Franklin departs for London, never again to return to America. Benjamin Franklin's son is finally safe from George Washington's hanging noose, but for those who remain in New York City, there is little safety and little hope.